Okay, so we promised to talk about critique in all of its forms. Where did you want to start?
Giving critique.
I'm a big fan of the compliment sandwich.
And for people who don't know how that, what
Which
that is.
is where you'd be like, oh, that's great, it's wonderful, I wouldn't change a thing except for this, 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 this. Overall, it's good though. That, but less obnoxious.
Yeah, so positive, negative, positive,
Yeah,
basically.
just so you don't
Compliment.
completely destroy someone. Because I find personally, whenever I'm very dissatisfied in a result, that's when I tend to receive compliments for it. And when I'm really pleased with something, that's when other people tend to just completely slam it. So it's very difficult to predict what is going to go down well and what isn't. And I think that goes for other people that you're critiquing as well. So best play it safe. Point out the things that they're doing well so they don't change those things. And personally, I believe there's three different sort of tiers of note giving. There's like the things that it's like, okay, no, you got to fix this now. I don't care what you say. Like it's not about whether it's good or bad. It's just wrong. There's the I'll keep this in mind for next time type notes, where it's like we can live with this, but don't do it again. And what was the other type? I think it's like, maybe keep this in mind. No. It was something else. I can't remember at all. That's a bummer. Maybe it was just the two.
Oh. I'm really curious that now about if there is a third one. The two make a lot of sense, so it needs to be fixed now and keep this in mind for the future. What would the third one be?
Yeah, I'm very fond of the keep in mind for future one because
Well, of course, because it means you get to move on.
exactly. But I like it a lot for giving as well because the whole production can move on. It's very easy for episodes to get caught up for ages and ages on very trivial matters. And then you're stuck fixing small and small things. And then it can go through like four or five rounds of reiterations while the animators are trying to figure out what the heck to do and what is your personal vision for it. And it doesn't really matter because episodes that are later in the series are always going to look better than the earlier ones anyway. So you might as well just sort of learn as you go. Critique it, be like, okay, that kind of sucks, but we can live with it for the sake of the deadline. But if you keep an eye on it for next time, then that would be great. And if you don't, then it will come back and you'll have to do it a second time. So don't do it. That way you can sort of get people to on board with different sorts of changes without completely crippling that line of communication.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so happy right now. That is, I want everyone to take that to heart because, again, it's about getting the critique, giving the critique, but not stalling the production. So whether that is you're at a studio, you're at a job, you're an illustrator for some company, I don't care. Like a tiny, having someone fix some tiny thing that doesn't really matter slows down the whole production process. And on your end, as an individual artist, if you're sitting there like, what color should the background be? I don't know. And you spend 30 minutes flipping through colors or, different types of textures. And I say this because I do it, but it doesn't really matter. So get on with it.
Actually, I just thought of a big one. Like, when you're in a position of giving other people notes, and when you've been in that position for a little while, it's very easy to adopt the mindset of, because that's part of your job is giving critique and making sure that everything's good, and errors are ultimately going to be on your head as the lead, right? Unfortunately, it's very easy to fall into the mindset of, if there are no notes on a thing, then you're not doing your job right. Like it
Yes, yeah,
becomes
okay.
somewhat difficult to let things through on the first pass, just almost subconsciously. And that sort of destroys everyone. Because if you're an animator and you know that it's someone's going to give you notes for the sake of giving you notes, then that's just annoying and difficult to keep respect for some people that do that when it's just kind of like, do you actually know anything about animation, or are you kind of just giving notes so you can feel important?
That's actually a really good point too, because in on my end of the line, if you have repeating customers, you'll start to recognize which of them is always going to ask for a fix on something. So what happens as a result is you don't do your best to begin with, because you know they're going to point out something that they want changed. Versus you'll have customers who never ask for any changes, so you will do the absolute best you can on the first pass. I mean, with a little bit of room just in case, but, you know, and so it's sort of interesting that way. But the other thing is, on the internet side of things, as far as coming across internet critiques, you'll get people who it seems like their sole purpose is to go around and just critique everything so that they look smart, right?
Yeah.
But whether or not that critique is actually A, valid, or B, useful is up for debate.
There's a lot of subjectivity, and like, if something is like subjectively to someone's taste or not, that's only really important to the person who's paying you. That's when you want to respect that opinion.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, sometimes, yeah, because they're in a position of power and they're the one with the money, they're going to be, you know, sometimes executing changes just because that is their position. And what's weird is that it's easy to forget that. And I had to like relearn that, where I found myself giving more notes than I probably should have been. And it's somewhat difficult to resist that urge. And you have to get used to the idea of letting a lot of stuff through on the first pass.
How interesting. Because I've never been in your position. I haven't been in your position before. I mean, as far as actual industry stuff, sure, small scale productions, like freelance stuff, sure. And you do. You let it through on the first pass because you want to be done.
Well, it sounds strange if you haven't experienced it, because like, it was like, oh, is it like a power going to your head thing? No, not at all. Because it's if you have like, you know, six people and you got to, you know, go through every one of their shots with a fine tooth comb and point out all the mistakes that need to be fixed and whatever. If you receive all that stuff and then 98% of it just goes through immediately, that makes me worry if I'm incompetent. Am I not good enough to be able to spot the things that need fixing? Am I being lazy by not spotting anything? Uh-oh, I better spot some stuff. And it's, you know, difficult to let that go and think, you know what, actually, maybe everyone on my team is just banging and they got 98% of it right the first time.
Yeah, I would be worried if I didn't catch anything, you know.
Mm. And I think most people can, like, be subject to that sometimes. Like, I'm a big fan of being able to fight notes, like, on both ends.
Ooh, like, okay. Tell me about that. So we're talking about notes. Like, you get a piece of critique for a shot you animated.
You get some notes from your boss, or vice versa. You give some changes to people in your team. And I'm a big fan of it both ways. I have so much respect for a boss that I can go up and say, hey, I disagree. I don't think we need to change that. But also have a lot of respect for team members who don't just, you know, do as they're told and grumble under their breath, but be like, you know, if they have a problem, they'll come and say, hey, I think you're full of it. Let's not change this. Because like that, because that leads to a discussion. And like, if you've got someone who, you know, you can communicate with above or below, then the best answer will come out. And, you know, that I find like a lot of people that I really like working with, usually the result is a fairly even split on times where they say, I hear what you're saying, but no, I need you to do it this way. Or they'll say, oh yeah, no, that's a good point. Let's do it your way. Which makes sense, because you like the individual animator, they have a very fine focus on the detail. They know more about that particular moment than everyone else. But a leader or a director, they know more about the episode as a whole. You know, they're the one with the bird's eye view. So maybe the individual animator isn't seeing what's happening in context of the rest of the story.
That's interesting. Yeah. If for some reason the boards or the directions on that shot, you know, didn't give enough information to see far into the future, then yeah, sometimes the leads have a reason. I mean, I assume they have a reason, but the animators themselves have a reason for the way they did it. So sometimes, yeah, 50-50. Sometimes the way they did it for that reason makes sense, and sometimes it needs to be done according to the lead because of the whole production, like the big picture.
Yeah, that's why I think communication is super important, to be able to express those things. Otherwise, whole sequences can completely fall down the toilet just because people are too nervous to speak up about it. However, it is a balance. Because if you're just being a little bit whiny and you're bringing up fault with everything.
Nobody likes that person. Nobody likes that person.
Exactly. Because like a director or a lead, they've got to deal with a lot of different people and a lot of stuff going on. And if there's, you know, one annoying kid at the back of the class who's always causing a ruckus, then that's very irritating. Especially if, you know, if you're causing a fuss with every single change just because you think you're really good and that you shouldn't get notes, that's ridiculous.
Everybody gets notes. That's kind of funny, though, because a lot of the times I'll sometimes get notes back from clients. And by the way, to all of my friends and, you know, people I've worked for listening to this, I'm not talking about you. The people I'm talking about probably almost guaranteed are not listening to this, so whatever. I was going to say, sometimes you'll get notes back and you'll go and you'll make the changes because, you know, the client knows best. It's kind of funny because in that relationship, there isn't, there's that same power imbalance, right? So the person paying you the money, whatever they say goes. Like, I will do whatever you want me to do. But sometimes I'll get suggestions that I don't think are very good. And I usually don't argue back. I'll just do it. Just like, okay, fine, I'm gonna make the change. Do the grumbling thing, right? But I generally don't fight back. The times that I do is when it's a repeat customer or a friend of mine, and I know that they'll actually consider. Like, I got comfortable enough with them to say, yeah, but XYZ, we should probably do it that way. Or, you know, I think it would look better that way.
Yeah, that's the same thing with, you know, someone in a studio environment. You know, you're working with them every day, so hopefully you can communicate like that. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Clients, it is different, though, because a lot of the time you're working with someone who is outside of the industry. They're not familiar with the technicalities, the lingo, all the things that we studied. So sometimes you got to take them on a little bit of a journey. And I've seen times where, the first initial design of, I'm sure a lot of people have experienced this, where the first initial design is fine. But because it isn't exactly to the vision of the client, they'll issue changes, which is fair. But not really respect. There's a reason why the designer went a little bit off brief. Because when you look at the full 6-month journey, the amount of changes that come back and then get redone again and again and again, it ends up almost going full circle and the final product is eerily similar to the first draft. Have you ever had that?
I haven't had that many iterations. Again, none of the projects I've done have been, I do work with a lot of people who don't know how commissions in general, how that works. But the interesting thing is a lot of the people I work with will upfront say, hey, this is the first time I'm paying for something this big, or this is the first time I'm paying for a piece of art, just to let you know.
I think it happens a lot more with like pre-production. If someone comes up and be like, hey, we're a place and we've got 10 million and the rights to this IP, let's do a series on it. And you're like, okay. So then, you know, you start designing the look of it and they're like, you know, they've got a lot riding on it. So they end up going on that whole cycle journey. And what's interesting about it finishing very similar to how it started was, the designer already knows what's going on. They make it the way it should end up. But the client, they sort of have to go on this journey of education first. They see all the iterations of the reason why it started off what they had in their mind's eye and why that probably won't work. And all of the iterations that, you know, ebb and flow and go up and down and get bigger and smaller until eventually it ends up with what the designer had in mind originally. Because they just do that all in their head right away. They do the complete cycle. But you sort of need to hold the hand through the client through the whole journey. So I'd be interested, like I've not had to do that too much myself, except for like way back in the beginning, just doing like business cards for small businesses and things. But on a larger scale, I wonder how those I do wonder how those meetings would go, like trying to convince someone to step away from their original vision to trust the vision of a designer. Like
that's the hardest thing you can do, I think, is to ask your client to just go with what you're saying, to trust you. You're asking a person to trust you, and that is really hard to do. Yeah, so that's like, if anybody listening, you have this series or this book or this piece of art or this piece of music or whatever you wanted to make, and instead of making yourself, you have someone else do it, and that person, who you don't really know that well, just tells you to trust them. That, you know, that was your vision, but believe me, this thing we're going to give to you, that's not really your vision, you know. This is going to be so much better.
Because then if it tanks, then you'll be like, well, that's on their head. They told me to trust them, and I couldn't.
Exactly. But, you know, it usually doesn't work that way, you know. Like, it's not going, it's just, it's a leap of faith, I guess.
So it's a deep world, this one, because we haven't even talked about the casual side of things, like, the uni student who gets ripped into by their professor and they're kind of like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that then. Cause that's sort of my side of the field, is the small stuff. Like, every day, a couple people email me their art and ask for me to critique it. I'm just like, I can't. No. No, I don't have the time to do this anymore. Sorry.
Okay, this is relevant. Friend was telling me about this thing he saw just like on Facebook or whatever the other day. It was like a networking group for getting into like the games industry or something like that. And they were an artist. And they were kind of being like, oh, man, I've gone around. I've emailed all the companies like within a reasonable distance. No one's giving me a shot. What am I doing wrong? And everyone starts, you know, critiquing or giving advice, rather, on different things. You're like, oh, you know, go to networking events. You know, maybe, you know, try some different styles, because what you're doing is a very, like, narrow field. And everything that was given, there was a rebuttal.
Oh.
So, you know, it's like, oh, why would I go to networking events and pretend to like people that I don't, and that kind of thing? Like, it's like, oh, well. So then people are saying like, oh, man, like, you know, you might want to keep an eye on an attitude like that, because, like, you know, this is a networking thread. What if there's potential employers looking at this? You know, what will they say to, you know, the way that you're speaking right now? And they're like, and it's like, oh, I don't care what they have to say, that kind of thing. It's like, whoa, like, this is a very, like, we're starting to see why maybe no one's given you a crack yet.
It has nothing to do with your work and everything to do with your attitude.
Well, can you imagine, you know, having a mindset like that and then being told that your designs need a little bit of tweaking?
Well, what I can't imagine is hiring someone with a mindset like that.
Mm. It's that's very different to what we were talking about before about you know, fighting for your notes. Like, I'm very used to that happening now in a professional way, that I forget about the kinds of people that will fight everything just because their pride could get hurt.
Yeah. Or just because, I mean, either that or they're lazy and they actually don't want to fix it. I mean, it's just, I've worked on collaborations before where there were a couple individuals who, no matter what anybody on the team said, would not edit or change or do whatever to their contributions. And so we just ended up throwing a lot of them out, or, you know, having to fix them ourselves. And it's just so frustrating. I would never hire a person like that.
But this is on a, like, a for fun collaboration thing, right? Everyone's contributing for free. So I feel like that's a little bit different again, though, because if I was doing something for free and then I was given notes on 50% of it, I'd be like, get lost. You know, like, it's, yeah, this is a gift, you know, take it or leave it. You don't get changes on a gift. But I a project like that's probably different again. This is like when I've, like, drawn a picture for a friend and then they ask for changes, I'm like, no.
No, that's silly. No, no, no. This is more like a high scale, very well established community project where everyone joins knowing that that you're going to get critique. And the whole idea is to make the best possible thing. So it's not like you, yes, it's not like you join. I mean, you can, there's different types of people. You could join just to make contributions for fun and throw them in there and they get accepted or they don't. But if, you know, some people say, wow, you know, this would work so much better if you did this or made this change or whatever, or like, hey, I'll help you. I'll make some art assets to include in this thing. And they're just like, nah, you take it or leave it. Or they fight with you. It's just, no.
it's so weird. I remember one where this was like on a show, right? So like everything that you kind of contribute to it is owned by the show.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That's not too difficult to wrap your head around. So someone had done a vehicle design or something like that. And it was getting some notes from, you know, I'll make the engines a bit bigger and stuff like that. And they're like, oh no, I like it how it is. you know, maybe I'll just use it for my own thing then. And we're like, no. this is designed to the brief of like for this show. You can't just take it for your own project because it's not perfect yet.
That's amazing. I'm sorry, that's probably like the most amazing thing I've heard.
They didn't stick around very long. Humility is a weird balance, and like most people I meet are pretty in tune with it, because like you do get your soul crushed on a weekly basis. So you kind of build up a tolerance, I suppose, as to how it works, because like you don't take it personally.
It's funny because it's easy to say, well, don't take it personally, or I don't take it personally, but to say that and mean it, it takes going through a lot of critique and experience to be able to say that and actually mean it.
Yeah, you know, like there's definitely been times where I've sort of like overdone it, like put too much energy into a shot, been very pleased with it, and then have it be cut, toned down, or changed, and feeling really butthurt about it. But that's my fault, because I put more into it than it needed.
Yeah, and I'm speaking of that, if you're working on film productions, maybe even episodic TV, but probably not so much, some people animate stuff that gets cut completely, and it's just gone from the movie. It doesn't even exist. Can you imagine?
If you can still use it for a demo reel, and like, then that would soften the wound, hopefully.
Spending, especially on a traditionally animated thing and having it get cut from the film to strengthen the film. Because in the end, it's all about the story. And sometimes you gotta cut. You gotta kill. What is it? Kill your... I was gonna say kill your children, but don't...
Yeah, that's it. It's it's even more rough for personal projects. I remember first hearing that phrase when I was like just in high school, only working on personal stuff, and hearing that, and you know, the idea of abandoning a personal project that I'd spent years on deliberately felt next to impossible. But you know, maybe I should listen to that advice, because there were some projects that sort of continued to linger in the back of my mind for years. It's been like, oh, you know, we'll get around to that one day, and you know, next minute an entire decade has passed, and it's like, okay, no, if I was to revisit that franchise now, it would have to be completely redone from the ground up, because I'm not a kid anymore.
It wouldn't even be the same thing anymore. It just, yeah.
No, the world, you know, the world has changed. The way you make content's changed. Our personal ability has changed.
Over time, you get so much more knowledge, I suppose, to work off of, or just like wisdom, I guess. So the types of things that you make as a teenager and as a kid are, I don't know, they can be predictable, I guess, from an adult standpoint. Like, as an adult, you can make some really twisted endings that nobody would expect, just because you've seen and read and watched and played and experienced so many different stories that you kind of know what not to do.
Golly, I almost feel the opposite.
Really?
Because there's more imagination to the child's mind.
Well, yes, that's true.
But, yeah, well, there's a lot to talk about with that, and it's a different topic. And we'll be going for half an hour on this one, so let's do that.
I learned a lot. I'm really glad that we talked about this.
There's a bunch of more points with that have entered and slipped my mind throughout that conversation, so it may come up later. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a popular topic. People are always asking me about critique and this and that, and critique. It seems to be very important for people, so yeah, we'll probably talk about it.
It's one I definitely wouldn't mind revisiting, because I think the comment section for this one will be quite interesting as well, hearing people's personal experiences, what they've had to deal with receiving it and giving it. And we can bring a lot of those points in onto a part two of this, I think.
That'll be a long ways off in the future, probably. But if you keep listening to the podcast, then we will definitely be talking more about critique.